Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you on this Remembrance Day and looking forward to spending some time in God's Word once again. And as God this week has been challenging me, hopefully I can pass that on. As always, I find the Lord has timely reminders and challenges, and this morning no different, as we're going to go to His Word and look at what God has called us to today in light of, on a day where we use this word freedom at great cost. And yet this morning the question, with freedom, for what end? And we're going to look at that this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again that today we can open your word and be reminded that today you are the giver of life, that you are a God of love, and that at great cost you set us free from the chains of sin, that we might live unto you as obedient servants. Thank you, Lord, that this morning again as we open your word, that we long to hear from you alone, that only your words would stick to our hearts, that they again might grow and be deep rooted within us. I pray again this morning that as we just are challenged by who you are and what you've called us to, in response to all that you've done and all that you're doing, I pray this morning that you would again put your finger on our hearts and remind us of those areas where today we must bow our knees and honor you as King and Lord of our lives. So thank you again for this morning and everything you have set before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we open the word this morning, a short reflection on this Remembrance Day, and some of what made me think and ponder today. And as always, I look at life and ponder, what is the Lord saying? And believe it or not, this week it came by opening the bread box in our home. And there was great controversy in the Thiessen home, because when I opened it, I found something, and that was this, that nobody really likes what we call in our house the butt of the bread. You may call it the heel of the bread, but every loaf has two cheeks. We know that, and so we call it the butt of the bread. And so many kids are making sandwiches, and yet nobody wants the butt. And so what I found was I opened the bread box to find many moldy butts were in there, and they had been left there because no one wanted to eat them, and many loaves of bread had gone through, and there was great waste, right? But this is the interesting thing as I was contemplating moldy butts in the box. Listen, times of peace, times of prosperity breed great complacency. And often when we are settled or situated in times where there's a lack of conflict, perhaps an abundance of resource, it doesn't always make us get better or be better. In fact, it breeds complacency and a carefree attitude. Often I like to look at statistics, and usually it's easier to find statistics on the United States, probably because there's more people. But I find often, though we are not the United States, usually we're not that far behind them when you see trends and things following. Interestingly enough, along that line, reading recently, this, in the United States of America, 50% of all produce is actually thrown away in a year. That amounts to 60 million tons of food, $160 billion annually. Food waste, the single biggest occupant of landfills in North America. Isn't that fascinating? Part of the problem, food is so cheap, cheaper than anywhere else in the world. And in that prosperity of cheap food and easy access, what happens? Not thankfulness, but what? Complacency, because if there's a bruise, I won't eat it. Throw it out. Not even good enough for the food bank, right? For a time, we were collecting from food banks, they would make up food baskets, and there would often be bruised things that couldn't go in the food baskets, or we'd go to grocery stores and they'd set aside produce that wasn't good enough to sell, and they'd give it to us for our pigs, and lo and behold, often it was far better for us than the pigs. I guess our standards are that low. But listen, great prosperity, not thankfulness, but what? Complacency. And as we remember this morning, I think back and I have to look at the fact that we remember, and again we use this word freedom, and we remember the cost today of that freedom. We remember what it took to give us that freedom. And today we have to ask, there was a great cost, but at what outcome? What outcome? Because I think of that food statistic, and I think about the people God's brought through my life, one specifically, who was a World War II vet, and he would tell me stories, one of which was how, when hungry on the battlefield, they found the only source of food was to try and catch a stray farm chicken, where available, and cook it with their flamethrower. And at the time I thought, tasty, right? And you think that they suffered hunger, they suffered loss, they suffered great death and despair. And today, you look at our society and you think, at what outcome? Right? Because today, we're living, but that life often, it can be defined by so many things. Whether I'm having a good day or a bad day, defined on, did I get my coffee the way I like it this morning? Was the lineup for that coffee too long? Was I held up at the store? Did they put too many sugar? Not enough sugar. More cream? Not enough cream. Did they misspell my name on the cup today? What a rotten day, right? What defines our day can be, and our purpose in life, as I was recently chatting with a friend and talking about how frivolous our lives are today. Our monetary income defined by, do I really like the curtains in this room? Is my car good enough? Does it drive fast enough? And again, incredible freedom, lack of conflict, lack of war, lack of all these things, and yet to what end? I remember our days in Quebec, and there was something interesting culturally, and that was this, whereas I just mentioned we might think about our curtains, culturally, they often didn't have curtains or would leave them wide open in the living rooms. And what was fascinating to us is you could, in an evening, drive down the street and look in everybody's house and see what they're doing. We were spies. It was fantastic. But listen, 90% of homes, TV on. Every evening as you drove down that street. And you could see a group of people sitting there, not living life, but watching life through a screen. And I ask myself, is that why these people died? Is that why they suffered? James writes it this way. Listen to James chapter 1 and verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Verse 23, James 1. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. And I love those words as James writes. Why? Because he talks about this freedom, and yet in the midst of it, an importance of not forgetting. And I think, how often do I live freedom, and I frivolously spend my days, and I've forgotten the cost to which it was paid? And this isn't just physical. And this isn't just a war memorial, because it's also spiritual, isn't it? Because today, as much as we remember our soldier's sacrifice and our freedom, how often do we look back and remember that today Jesus died? And he died for a reason, and that reason was that we might be freed. Freed from the sin that so easily entangles us, freed so that today we might live new lives unto God. And yet, I take that freedom, and in the same way, what do? Peter goes on and writes this in chapter 2 and verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires, which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil, as servants of God. Hey, God set you free, but that freedom was there for a reason. And that reason was not so that you might simply do whatever you want to do, be what you want to be, go where you want to go, eat what you want to eat. And that's Paul's warning as he writes, and as we studied together as a congregation in 1 Corinthians, remember how they were taking communion? When Paul writes, listen, you're coming together to share the brokenness of the body of Christ, the blood of our Savior, and you come to the table, and one is filling his stomach, and the other getting drunk on wine, and some come and have no food to eat. And Paul says, what? Are you so selfish that today you would take of the sacrifice of Jesus and selfishly hold and withhold from the neighbors around you? You see, they knew of God's sacrifice, but instead of that sacrifice leading to something good, and they let it lead to a complacency, a filling, a fattening of themselves, in which was not leading them up, but only down. And this was Paul's great correction in 1 Corinthians, because they had surrounded themselves with the word of God, with things pertaining to God, traditions and religious ceremonies, and yet in the midst of it, they were missing God altogether. And so today, as we come together on this Remembrance Day, how important that today we take time to remember. First, the cost. And secondly, not just what was the cost, but at what outcome. Because the friends that I know that fought in that war, who are now with the Lord, I think sometimes would shake their heads at what they died for. As well as a Lord Jesus and a loving Savior who looks at me and says, I saved you, but not for that purpose. Not for that end. Not for you to do what you want. Not to waste your time on your thing. So that you might be my child, busy about my things. That you might be freed from all things that were holding you back to serve me wholeheartedly. Not free to do what you want, but free from the sin that kept you from being who I want you to be. And as Paul wrote, and again, we write so many good things in regards to that freedom. Again, he says, Galatians 5, my brothers, we're called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. And if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. See, today I think it is such a good time, a timely moment, to stop and look and ask the hard questions. What is my life about? What fills my day? What is this great cost of freedom led to? And in what have I found? Because often I find, again, the season of peace brings complacency. When there's so much food, you can throw it away. When there's so much time, you can fritter it. When you've got so much, you can spend it on such little things. All the while, our neighbors are hungry. People are lonely, deserving time, longing for companionship. And yet, what do I spend my time? Am I living with the true meaningfulness that the freedom was offered for? Or have I put all my stock in the meaningless? I have so many friends, so I can think around and imagine over the years that how good or bad their week was depended on if their sports team won that week and by how much. Is that life? Is that living? Is that what the Lord died for? And I don't pick on sports. We can be passionate about sports. We can be passionate about many things. But when these little things become the greatest passion, the defining passion, that's not what was sacrificed for. We may be free, but we may not be living the free lives that were intended nor fought for. I love again how Paul sums it up when he talks about his freedom. He says this in 1 Corinthians 9, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Today, due to great sacrifice, we are slaves to no man, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. Because of great sacrifice, today we have opportunity to be slave to no sin. Today, are we living to the fullness that that freedom offers? I pray, as the Lord's been reminding me today in how I spend my days, my time, the things I complain about, the butt of the bread, right? Not the perfect meal, the perfect food, or the perfect sandwich. But thanks be to God who gives us our daily bread and sustains us. Today, am I living true free life or just living a complacent life? May He put a finger on each of our hearts today in that reminder of what it means to live and walk with Him and the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus spent for each and every one of us, that today we might not only know Him, but walk with him and abide in him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that today we have opportunity to remember, opportunity to look back. And not only do you see the good, the sacrifice, we see the hard, we see the battles, we see the difficulties. But as you are a faithful God, a word like a two-edged sword that divides bone and marrow, spirit and soul, and judges the intentions of men's hearts, as we set our hearts on you, we can also see where we are so easily led astray to the things of this world. I pray today that we would be inclined by your word this morning to raise up those things and be children of substance, those who walk in the newness of life, freedom for righteousness, purpose. And we thank you that today you are a giver of life, and that today you give all that we need in all things. And I pray for your forgiveness where I have become complacent. Think not enough. Thank you that today we might walk in life, and that your mercies are new every morning, and we do not take for granted any of it. In Jesus' name, amen.